Hello, lovelies. It is Ingrid here from Weird Church, coming to you from Bethlehem Retreat Center in Nanaimo, where I've been invited to spend the day with the folks at the Faith and Sharing Retreat. And I just wanted to offer some thoughts and reflections from our last Sunday gathering yesterday, that was the 11th, on generosity. And so maybe you've got me in your ears and you're walking, maybe you're watching and enjoying the view behind me. Maybe you're driving, I don't know, whatever you're doing. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But no matter where you are, let's just take a couple of deep grounding breaths. You might hear sounds around me, you might hear sounds around you, but that's okay. Let's let all that air out. Just take a nice deep breath in. Just hold it for a second at the top and then let it go. Let's do that again, welcoming in life. Getting all that nutrients from that air and then everything that's not serving us today goes out with our breath. Let's do that one more time, in and out. Awesome. So no matter where you are joining me from today, you are likely on stolen land, just like I am here. And so let's just take a moment to allow our gratitude to sink into the earth below us. Maybe that is immediate. I can feel the earth, the literal earth right below me. I'm outside. And maybe you have some layers of furniture and carpet and concrete. Maybe just the soles of your shoes. Just allow your gratitude for this earth and the people who have stewarded it since time immemorial. Let that gratitude sink into the good, sweet earth below. And in that posture of gratitude, let's take a moment to pray. Holy One, Spirit, Giver of life, love of the universe, we are here. As we settle into this time, we ask that you would hold us together in love. Help us to settle into a posture of openness, of learning, of trusting you and one another. For all of the bumps and bruises, the difficulties of the week behind us, free us. Free us from our guilt, from our shame, our remorse. These only get in the way of our loving. They get in the way of our gratitude, our generosity, your dream for us in the world. We ask that you would fill us up today so that we can flow from this place into all the places of our lives, trusting your love and sharing it wherever we go. Show us how. Amen. So last week, both in your ears and at church, we spent some time considering gratitude using the guidance from Paul in the year 51 AD. In response to that question, how do we live lives of love in the midst of all of the everything of the world? And that was true in the year 51 as much as it is in the year 2024. How do we live lives of love and gratitude in the midst of all of this? And so he wrote, and my interpretation from the Greek goes like this: always be in the action of leaning towards grace. Let your consciousness remain at all times in reciprocity with the divine in everything. Be aware of God's loving presence. This is God's dream for you. And it returns to that idea of being grateful in all things, but not necessarily for all things. And so building on that, today's theme or reflection or idea or is generosity. What does it mean to be generous, right? So just take a moment. I'm gonna offer some questions and just take a moment to consider. What does generosity feel like in its outflow from you? What does that feel like? And flipping it, what about being on the receiving end of generosity? How does that feel? Are there different kinds of generosity? We often think first about financial generosity, right? Super important. In church settings, it's often broken down into this trio of time, talent, and treasure. Think about how we are generous in our lives. So, you know, time, with our own time, being generous with our time, with our talent, the way that we have gifts and skills that maybe others don't, we share those, and treasure or financial generosity. And I think that that notion of giving of time, talent, and treasure is a kind of mindset, right? We do have this sort of social media culture that's like, I'm blessed to be a blessing, hashtag blessed, right? Which is fair, that's true. I mean, that doesn't come from nowhere. But it does come, I think, in part out of the recognition that all of this is temporary anyway, and awareness of how much of any of this is mine, or am I just holding on to it or stewarding it for this time that I'm on this earth? But giving is a spiritual discipline, and it's an important one because in many ways it implies trust, right? That there is more on the way, that God has got us. And so whether it is time, talent, or treasure, we all have something to offer. So the times when I had the least amount of cash flow, I also had the most amount of time. And so the way that I gave in those times is different than the way that I give now, where my time is more restricted, right? So giving is this outward expression of care and concern for others, and it's responsive too. Right? An expression of gratitude for the people and places that matter to us, or compassion for folks who are suffering in ways maybe that we have experienced or maybe that we've not. So giving often comes from generosity or a feeling of generosity, and it's also a part of our Canadian culture. So our whole context of the way Canada survives is based on giving. Right? So in 2023, one in five Canadians was using a charitable service to meet their most essential needs. And 67% of Canadians give to charity. So our social fabric is also based on that. But I want to like draw further out into this idea about the whole. What about the posture of generosity? Okay? What about a lifestyle of generosity? What about showing up in the world generously? It's the same idea as what we talked about in our last session about gratitude, a way of being present in our lives. So what would a posture of generosity look like? I want to share a prayer with you today that you may already know, especially if you were raised Catholic or are part of a 12-step group. It's known as the 11th step prayer. It's often attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi, who was an Italian mystic and friar in the 11th century. And he founded the order of Franciscans. So if you think about a Franciscan monk or nun, it's a part of the Catholic tradition. So the prayer is attributed to him, but he actually didn't write it. But it's a delicious little story. So let me tell it to you. Okay, so the prayer was actually first published in a little small French religious newsletter called La Clochette in 1912. And yeah, 1912. Francis, 11th century, La Clochette in 1912 in a little town in France. But it got a lot of circulation during World War I and World War II. So, but this is how it got attributed to St. Francis. Around 1918, a Franciscan father reprinted what was called a prayer for peace in its original French, with no author, no attribution, but it was on one side of what were called holy cards. So it was like things that people could carry with them. So the prayer was on one side, and because he was a Franciscan monk, there was a picture of St. Francis on the other side. And so the prayer was circulating and made it all the way to the United States by 1927, which is when the first known English version came about. It's a little bit different. If you are bilingual, you could read them side by side and be like, oh, there's a little bit of nuance there. But so the first printed English version showed up in a Quaker magazine called The Friends Intelligencer in 1927, and it was called A Prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Simply because it had that card. So then an American archbishop and military vicar distributed millions of copies of this prayer during World War II. And then the following year after the war ended, it was read into the congressional record by a senator, Senator Hawks. So it sort of made its way around, attributed to this 11th century St. Francis, but was actually only written in the 20th century. But a friar later said that, I'll read the quote, "One can safely say that although he is not the author, it resembles him, and it would not have displeased him." So there we go. I have two versions that I want to share with you. The most common English version, and remember, like all things weird church, take what works, leave what doesn't. So whether this is your tradition or not, see if you can stay open to the spirit of the words, remembering that they were written in the early 1900s. And just listen with ears of grace. We'll take a few breaths. I'll offer the first, the original English version as it was shared in 1927. And then we'll take a pause, and then I'll share another version. So let's start the big deep breath in. Letting it go, opening ourselves to these 100-year-old words. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. This second version is a rewrite from Tony Brady, and he offers it with a sort of framing of not trying to improve on something, but with an effort to take a fresh look on a familiar view. It's like when we have friends visiting from out of town and we show them around, and all of a sudden we go, oh, gosh, it is nice here. Yeah. So that's what this is. So let us take another deep breath. Letting go and opening to these words. Giver of life, God, spirit beyond all our knowing, let me bring the gift of peace into the world. May I be an emissary of love and kindness in every ocean of hostility or prejudice. Aware of my own failings, may I be patient, repeatedly patient, with the failings of others. May I be forgiving towards those who injure me through fear, through thoughtlessness, or more. In a world of doubt and anxiety, let me offer the light of reason, courage, and even hope. Because in this wonderful world, we must open our eyes if we are to distinguish light from darkness. Sadness may be the lot of people in my world, so let me sit with the sad, the dispossessed, the unloved, the misunderstood, the bereaved. Give me strength to listen, to comfort, and to help turn their sadness into joy. Bringing kindness and compassion to others, may I receive back in the same turn, knowing that the measure I give out is the measure I will receive back. Just as my being understood is the natural reward of my efforts at understanding others. My being loved is the gift I receive when I give myself to others in love, just as forgiveness is the greater reward of every forgiver. We are told that he who loses his life will save it, and may that be so. Still, let my life be spent seeking no reward save that of knowing that I do the will of you, the giver of life. Amen. And so I wonder, how do those prayers help you understand a posture of generosity today? What would walking in the world in a generous way look like for you? Is there something you want to try? A way of being you want to test out? Remember that you are safe to do that, to explore the depths of your spiritual being, because no matter where you go, no matter what you have done or not done, no matter any of the anything, you are held in love's embrace. There is no place where you can go where love isn't. You are a precious and beloved child of God, and nothing can separate you from that love. And so, my friends, I dare you to believe it. I dare you to walk it. I dare you to live it on this day and each day of your lives. Amen.